Brothers and sisters, time is not on our side, so I'm just going to jump right in. I was telling Colleen in the back, I'm not much of a talker, but I don't know, like just in general, in everyday life, I don't talk all that much, but I don't know what happens when I get up here. It just seems like I never finish, so by God's grace. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever played that game? I think it's called Two Truths and a Lie, or it's where you tell people two things that are true about you and one thing that's a lie, and people have to guess which one is the lie. Have you guys ever played that? Okay. Like, usually at school, when you start a new class, they make you do that, so, you know, everybody gets to know each other. Let's do that, all right? I'm gonna say two truths and one lie about myself, and I'm not condoning lying, but this is just for the introduction. Okay. Two truths and a lie about me. I play the saxophone. I've been skydiving. And I wanted to join the Air Force. Which one's the lie? Which one? Saxophone? No, I do play the saxophone. Man, wow. You know, you think somebody knows you and then you're just let down like that. Wow. I play the saxophone. I've been skydiving, and I never wanted to join the Air Force. Actually, when I was in high school, I wanted to join the Marines, but Mom and Dad didn't let me do it. But that's the thing, two truths and a lie. And the third one, which was the lie about me, it wasn't really far from the truth, because if somebody knows anything about me, maybe they remember that I wanted to join the Marines, they would think, oh yeah, Colleen wanted to join the armed forces, it must be the Air Force, something like that. And the reason I use this example is because that's how the devil deceives the church. That's how the devil deceives Christians. He's never going to come out and say, hey, the sky is yellow, the sky is green. He's going to come in and he's going to give you truth. He's going to give me truth. And mixed in with that truth is going to be the lie. And if we don't have a solid foundation, we're going to bite. We're going to accept that lie. We're going to be deceived. And eventually we're going to fall as Christians, as a church, as a body of believers. And that's why we're going to start this series of messages. It's going to be a series of messages in English that hopefully are going to be about 10, 15 minutes long. And it's not going to be anything that you necessarily don't know. It's not going to be anything, some deep theological truths. Hopefully, what we're going to try to do in this series of messages is bring you very practical advice. And some of you might kind of roll your eyes when you hear the messages, because they are deceptively simple, yet they are critically important. Why are they critically important? Because what we're going to be speaking about is the importance of the Bible, of the Word of God to the believer. And maybe some of you are already rolling your eyes. Yes, yes, we know that the Bible is important, but we don't know, or we don't realize often, how critically important being familiar, and not just familiar, but just being completely engrossed by the Bible is to the believer. Because if we don't know our Bibles, if we don't know the Word of God inside and out, if it's not something that is an essential part of our lives, then when that small lie that the devil brings is going to be wrapped up in that truth, and it's going to sound right, and we're not going to know what's going on. If we don't have the foundation of the Word of God in our lives, we are going to fall. Now, we need this Bible in order to function, to survive, to excel in our Christian lives. If you're lost in a field, you need a compass. If you get something from like IKEA or one of those furniture stores, you need one of those instruction manuals to be able to put it together. If you're going to go from a place that you know to a place that you've never been to before, you need directions. Either Google it or something on your phone. You need directions. And for us, for Christians, for our Christian lives, this is our compass. This is our instruction manual. These are our directions, and we need to know them so that we don't get lost. And with that in mind, we're gonna go into the first of these series of messages tonight. And the message is called, How Do I Build My Life on the Bible? There are 5 points, and tonight I'm only going to go over the first 2 points. And next week, the message is going to build upon this message. And every week after that, the messages are going to build one on top of the other. So to dive right in, let's open to James chapter 1 if you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do have your Bibles, because again, what we're going to be talking about is how critically important the Bible is. So if you have it, please open it to James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 19 through 25. And it says, "My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But the one who looks intently into the word, into the perfect law of freedom, and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." So the first thing that we need to know and to remember and to think about in laying this foundation of the Bible being at the center of our lives is that we need to receive it with our ears. This is what we're doing tonight. It says again in James in 19 through 21, the importance of this word. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes, first of all, by hearing the message being declared, by hearing the word of God being declared. There are four things that we need to remember when hearing the word of God, or in order to be able to hear the word of God, we need to have these four things functioning in our lives. First of all, when we come to hear the word of God, we must be quiet. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, even if we're not speaking out loud, even if our mouths aren't moving, in our brains, a lot of times our brains are running at a million miles an hour. We're coming in here, and it's Sunday night, and for most of us, on Monday, we're either going back to school or back to work, and a lot of us are thinking about that. We're ready to start the week. We're wondering, how am I going to do on that test on Monday? We're wondering, am I going to have a job on Monday? We're wondering, who do I have to meet? What kind of groceries do I have to buy? Planning out our weeks. There's so much noise going on inside of our brains, inside of our lives, often, even though we're sitting in church. And there's so much noise that it drowns out the word of God. And even though it's being spoken, even though it's being declared, even though we have our Bibles opened, if we don't come first and foremost with an attitude of quieting ourselves in the presence of God, then we're not going to hear. What we need to do is tune in. First thing that we need to do, again, these are very practical thoughts that we want to share with the church. When we come into the presence of God, there's nothing magical that happens over here. It's not like we're transformed by walking into this building. As Pastor Druhora mentioned this morning, the church isn't the building. Even though we're investing in the building and we want it to look beautiful and we want to give God the best, the church is not these walls. The church is you. It's us. We are the church. So if the church doesn't show up, there is no church. If we don't come and quiet ourselves and make ourselves ready to hear and to experience and to see God, then it's not going to happen. We're going to miss it. There will be singing, and we're going to miss it. There will be the word being declared, and we're going to miss it. People are going to be praying and in touch with God, and if we're not quiet in ourselves, we are going to miss it. We need to come and leave everything else, everything that's going on, difficult as it might be, but leave everything that's going on in our lives. Arguments that you had with your parents, with your spouse, with your friends, thoughts of things that we need to do, those things, when we walk in here, that's all over. We need to lay those aside and come and say, Lord, speak. I'm here to hear from you. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to meet with you, Lord. I'm quieting myself down because I want to have a one-on-one encounter with you. We need to be quiet. The second thing that we need to do is we must be calm. It says, be quick to listen slow to speak and slow to become angry. Slowness. The Bible preaches slowness. I don't know if that's a word, but slowness. We are conditioned in this world. We're taught to react and to form opinions quickly. We go to school. This is an example that I'm sure many of you can relate to. We go to school and we have lessons and we have tests and we're on a time limit and we have to read fast and form an opinion about the information that's given and based on that opinion answer questions and do everything fast and in a fast manner. And we're conditioned to react automatically, and we bring that into the church. When we hear the word, instead of thinking, instead of receiving, instead of letting it do its work in us, we react. And in fact, I told my mom I was going to use her as an example, but when we were kids, when Flavio and I were little kids, he was more of the good kid and I was more of the not so good kid. And it got to the point where a lot of times, not all the time, but if something went wrong in the house, if something was broken, if something just didn't look right, I would just hear mom from like the kitchen or wherever she was, "Colleen!" She wouldn't even ask like who did it. She wouldn't even ask what happened. She just assumed that I did it. And most of the time she was right. I conditioned her to just assume that if something was wrong, that it was my fault. And that's what we do a lot of times. We come in here conditioned to react to the Word of God. And what the Word says is that the Bible is completely different from your work, which is fast-paced, from your school, which is fast-paced, from this world outside, which is so fast-paced, fast food and everything else. The Word is slow. It's something that needs to act slowly because it's not a set of information. It's not bits and facts that we need to take in and form an opinion about and spit out an answer to. The Word is different. The Word is living. The Word needs to enter my heart. The Word needs to burrow deep inside of me. The Word needs to be planted and take root in my soul, grow, bring forth fruit, and begin to change and transform and rearrange who I am from the inside out. It takes time. It takes meditation. It takes contemplation. It's not something that is fast-paced. It's living. The Word is living. The Word is something that when you allow it to take in and to take root and to take a hold of your life, that Word is going to do something to you. You are not going to do something with that Word. That Word is going to begin to transform you and me from the inside out. That's why we need to come and be ready to receive the Word and be calm and not react when we hear the Word being spoken. The third thing that we need to do is we must be clean when we come to receive the Word. And that speaks of confession. It says, get rid of all the moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent. And he's speaking to us. He's speaking to the church. We need to come and confess our sins. And that's why every Sunday morning we repeat those prayers that we always repeat, right? We praise God, and then we come with a prayer of confession. And I know that a lot of times many people think, well, why do we always have to confess our sins? And why do the pastors always have to come and convince us that we need to confess our sins? But it says in the Word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? Brothers and sisters, light cannot have any fellowship with darkness. And if I'm in darkness, the light of the Word cannot have any fellowship with me. I cannot have any fellowship with the Word. No matter how true and how powerfully the pastor speaks, no matter how true and how powerfully the worship team sings, no matter how anointed the prayer is, if I don't have peace with God, if I haven't confessed my sins and been absolved of my sins, I cannot have fellowship with the light of the Word because in me there is darkness. And those things do not mix. It's like oil and like water. And what happens is it's human nature. We build this armor. And it's natural. It's natural for all of us to defend ourselves and to avoid pain, right? Nobody wants to feel pain. Nobody wants to be hurt. And when I come and I'm in a state of sin, and I hear the Word being preached, well, that Word is going to hurt, because another thing that the Bible says about the Word of God is that it's like a two-edged sword that cuts, and it cuts deeply. And if I haven't confessed my sins and I haven't made peace with God, then that word is going to cut me. And we all know that when we get cut, it hurts. And our natural inclination is to defend ourselves and to recoil and to put this armor so that we don't feel that pain, that we don't feel the pain of the word. And oftentimes what we also do is we become angry. We hear the pastor speaking, we hear the word being preached, and because we don't have that peace with God, we say, how dare he speak about me? Or how dare he say that? Or why do we always have to hear about confession and sins and all these things? And we recoil at the word. We put up a wall, and we can't have fellowship with the word. We can't have fellowship with Christ. There is a separation between us and the word. So we need to come and we need to confess. In order to receive the word, we need to be clean. And the fourth thing that needs to happen is that we need to be humble. It says, humbly accept the word implanted in you. And the only thing that I want to say about this is that, brothers and sisters, none of us are so good that we can't be reminded, that we can't be rebuked, that we can't be provoked. None of us is without sin. If we were over there when the people brought the woman caught in adultery and they were ready to stone her, everybody in their righteous anger, and Jesus said, if anybody's without sin, go ahead, throw the stone. All of us would have dropped our rocks. All of us. None of us is too good to be reminded. And that's what we do when we come over here. We're reminded once again about the holiness of God, about the righteousness of the word, about the calling that we have as Christians. And it's a good thing because we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. Oftentimes I go on autopilot through the week and I come and I'm so glad that I'm confronted with the word or with worship or with prayer, and I'm stopped in my tracks and I have to reevaluate myself. And what that is the grace of God to me and the grace of God to his church. So in receiving the word with our ears, we need to do these four things. We must be quiet, we must be calm, we must be clean, and we must be humble. And then the second and the last thing for tonight is we need to read the word with our eyes. It says in the last part of this passage that we need to look into the word intently. We need to look intently into the law of God. Here are a couple synonyms of the word intently: closely, carefully, attentively, absorbedly. I had no idea that was a word, but it's a word. Absorbedly, raptly, the root word of which is the word that we get rapture from, which means to be caught up in the word, to be consumed by the word. Now, brothers and sisters, we have good intentions. Sometimes we say, man, I haven't read the Bible in a couple days. I need to catch up. Tonight, I'm going to read 10 chapters. Come whatever may, I'm going to read those 10 chapters. Or we have a year-long reading plan, which is good. We need to read through the Bible every year. And we're on that schedule and we say, tonight I have to finish these 4 chapters or these 6 chapters or whatever it may be. And as we read, certain verses or certain words jump out at us and we feel the Holy Spirit telling us to stop, to slow down, to hold on, and look intently into the passage, to let the word speak to us. And we are on our own schedule rather than being on God's schedule. And that's another very important thing in reading the word of God and receiving the word of God and making it a foundation, is that we need to look intently. The Apostle Paul praised the Bereans when they took the word that he preached to them and they went home and they researched it and they looked into it in depth. They opened up their Bibles and they compared passage with passage and book with book. And as believers, that's what we need to do. It's not a marathon. Like I said, it's good. We need to read every day. We need to have a Bible reading plan. We need to be faithful to that. But that is not the goal. The goal is to have the word speaking to us. The word is to have God speaking to us through the word. And in order for us to do that, we need to, again, slow down, stop every once in a while, and look intently into the word. Meditate. Let the word just go around in our minds and in our hearts and apply it to our lives, apply it to our hearts, apply it to our days. And when we begin to do these things, that's when the word will begin to truly do what the word is intended to do. It's not something that we carry around with us. It's not in book form, but it's something that we carry around in our hearts. It's not something that we look at to reference verses, but it's something that guides us, that informs our decisions, that informs our thoughts, that informs our relationships, that is the central focus of everything that we do. Because ultimately, it is the Word of God that is at the foundation of everything else that happens in this body of believers. We can talk about prophecy, but it's rooted and founded in the Word of God. We can talk about worship, but it's founded in the Word of God. We can talk about praise and holiness and all these other things, but ultimately, if we don't have a grasp on the truth of the Word of God, then we will be deceived. So I pray that for myself and for the church and for us as we go through these weeks and we delve into more deeply every single week into the importance of the Word of God, that we will not walk away with a lesson in theology, but in practical steps that we can take and go home and begin to apply. I pray that all of us go home tonight and we open up our Bibles and we quiet ourselves down, that we calm our hearts, that we don't react, that we confess and we remove everything that's blocking us from having a relationship with God, that we remove everything that's a hindrance, and we just stand in the presence of God and we say, Lord, this is your word, it's living, it's powerful, and I want it to speak to me. Lord, I pray this for myself, and I pray this for my brothers and sisters in the Emmanuel Church. Amen.